Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Officer, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Gatecast episode 77. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mike. Hello, everybody.
And I should tweet the fact that we've started.
Yeah, why not? You tweet that, and I'll tell the folks this is our third effort at recording this episode. As it turned out, it was a problem with my machine that was doing it. That's been solved, so the Skype connection is now working fine.
Or as fine as transient conditions on Tinterweb can allow for.
Indeed.
I am just happily hammering away at the keyboard explaining, for reasons detailed below, not at our usual time.
It always does seem like you've got a grudge against that keyboard.
That keyboard served me well for nearly 10 years. It don't see half as much use as it used to. Unfortunately, I left the charger from my ruddy laptop in Galway, which means the Mini is currently temporarily serving as both bedroom and sitting room PC.
Right.
The other PC not being hooked into sound. Anyway, tangent. I suppose Teok, Jack, would you call it an ensemble episode?
Oh, very much so. We've got an A and B arc. Jack and Teok on one, Sam and Daniel in the other, with the guest star. Two guest stars, in fact.
I actually got so caught up in the transcripts, I'd read halfway through before I realised, hang on, I've gone past the teaser. Sort of rendered this episode. I've watched kind of half it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I've watched half it in text.
Hi, this is Kevin Batchelder. And this is the Saturday B-Movie Reel.
Do something. Shoot it! Shoot it!
That's about describes it, yeah.
All right, everybody stay here.
We look specifically at the Sci-Fi Channel's original movies. You know the ones. The ones that air on Saturday night.
Be known throughout the ages as an instant classic.
We need a bigger gator!
Limb cutting, yes. And blood squirting from...
Flying limbs, I called it in my notes.
What could go wrong?
We look on a regular basis at the movies as they come out, and since they've been over 200 of them, we do go back and look at many of them that are now out on DVD. By this point, I had completely forgotten any semblance of seeing if this actually makes any sense from a plot point of view. So come on by, get involved, and have some fun.
Check us out at SaturdayBMovieReel.com.
Our future depends on it. Make it safe.
Okay. I have a head-tilted line. My finger is hovering over the spacebar.
Same here.
Shall we go?
Yep, ready.
Iver three, Iver a doe, Iver hain. Go. Fade to black, fade in, on the number 18. Strangely feels like I've seen this before somewhere.
Tilk was ordered to push the envelope, sir. I'm sure he'll be back soon.
Well, that'd be nice. Where else would he go? Good point.
And some black. What are they? You know, they're being very careful to shoot an angle where it's almost impossible to tell what kind of car it is. You can see you can suddenly see a badge on the back, which might be Chevy, but...
Well, here we go.
If the motor manufacturer isn't going to supply the cars, then, where are you showing them?
What, they show the Humvee?
No real choice with the Humvee, have you? A general does not drive in anything but a Humvee.
Why the massive central console? I know I asked this the first time we recorded, but you may have missed it.
Must be a reason.
You could probably carry six people.
Is there a problem, Colonel?
No, sir. Not at all. I'm sure Teok just felt he'd take her for a spin.
Ahmed looks chubby.
Yes.
She looks a bit tight. I'm wondering if wardrobe... Now, that looks a bit like Louis Gossett Jr., but it's not. Obviously.
No. It is a three-star general, though, compared to Hammond's two-star.
Lieutenant General Vadrine.
Colonel.
General.
Major.
General.
Doctor.
General.
General, general. That's an old joke, but it works so well.
Oh, yes. General, major, general, doctor, general. Yes, and Hammond's got stars in a hat and everything. He's like, see, stars. That jacket looks tight. Is that a deliberate choice by wardrobe? Or is that they couldn't actually find one to fit in?
He might have put a few pounds on in between episodes. Whee! That was a bit close for comfort. Change of top gun. It was, wasn't it? Forget smashing all the car windows.
Well, the only thing that smashed the rear windows, actually.
Well, all the windows were rigged with explosives to break, but only half of them did. Oh, no, he's got no sense of humour at all, Jack.
Hmm.
This is General Vadreen, played by Stephen Williams.
So who's on your commentary in this?
Commentary on this one. Peter DeLuise and James Titchener.
Hmm.
Major Davis, Colin Cunningham.
Our infrequent guest star.
Yes. Always comes across as a bit of a brown noser, but a good character nevertheless.
Well, no, I mean, when they were planning to blow up the base and everyone was, people were staying pre-invasion, I mean, he stayed. He didn't try and run away.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. He's a good character, but just every now and again you get the feeling that he'll always get the promotion over another guy because he knows how to work the system.
Mm-hmm. What makes it fly?
Well, that's difficult to explain, sir.
Character's hair getting a bit long at the back again?
Yes.
And looks kind of messy.
She looks a bit rough, actually.
She does, doesn't she? She looks like she didn't get a chance to wash it this morning, and she just kind of ran a comb through it.
I'll just accept the fact that it flies.
Yes, sir.
He looks that fun.
He's having the time of his life, and you can see him smiling even behind the face mask.
Yeah, the eyes are crinkled up, and he's like, wee. That reminds me of... Now, this might take you back. There were an arcade game called Afterburner.
Yes.
Oh, it flies. Yes, sir.
In the early 90s, an arcade machine opened up on Collins Street in Dublin, which actually had the 360 version. You took everything out of pocket, you strapped in, and if you did a roll, there was a thing in the cabinet, and it actually would spin you upside down.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Unfortunately, it was set to ridiculously hard.
Oh, so...
it cost like a pound, you know? It's a Dragon's Lair of its time, if you recall the GWC people got over that. Anyway, directed by our constant director, Peter DeLuise. Written by Michael Cassutt.
That's right.
Chimes in with other episodes that this person's written.
Well, he only wrote two episodes for the franchise, but probably familiar with his other work, Dead Zone, Odyssey 5, and he's also written for Farscape. So the guy's been around, and he must like sci-fi.
Odyssey 5 was cruelly cancelled.
It was, wasn't it?
I liked Odyssey 5.
Peter Weller really rocked that series.
Mm-hmm. That, basically, is what I'm looking at. That kind of guy.
I always like to get the view of the man in the cockpit.
Oh, some nice mixture of CGI and live action there, with a ship in the background.
How does she fly, son?
The vehicle performed within expected parameters.
Woohoo!
Deliberately out of focus, with a nice little hee-haze coming off the engine. You spot that?
Yeah, well, Jack.
He's kind of given Jack, is this guy taking the piss out of me? Is he being insubordinate? Look.
Yeah, he's not quite used to this attitude from a subordinate, is he?
Defense craft under your command, sir.
In all seriousness... If that's all right with you, Colonel.
Of course. You can see little Daniel raising his eyebrows in the background. You get the feeling this general would really like Tilk.
You get the feeling the general wants to get a plane. Can I have a go? No, you're a 3-star general. You have to stay in the ground where it's safe.
RSGC control room will serve as mission control.
Light that candle, boys.
Yes, sir.
Ex-combat, I'd say.
Does General Vadreen wishes to perform some sort of candle burning ritual?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, exactly. Molly. Yeah, high-vis jackets and everything.
Nice.
Stock footage of somebody nearly being run over by a truck.
Well, there's always room for a bit of stock footage.
Yeah, but they'll usually throw in the stock footage if they're running short.
Perhaps they were. You never know, do you?
Okay, where's Walter?
Request permission to proceed with weapons test.
Here, go, Digger One.
Proceeding to target area.
Copy that, you go for phase 2.
Do we ever actually see Walter and Major Davis share a screen time?
I honestly don't know. A bit strange they're operating out of the SGC. You'd have thought there'd have been Groom Lake or perhaps... Well, Groom Lake, obviously, because of the airbase there.
28 air-to-air missiles.
Major, are you suggesting a slammer missile would be capable of taking out a Gua Ole mothership?
If it's armed with an Aquida enhanced warhead and modified with a shield frequency modulator, yes, sir.
Do you know where that was actually shot?
No.
Ooh, a rare failure of mic research. Or was it you couldn't be asked?
One of the SG-1 filming location resource website has vanished, and that's cut me off at the knees.
Ooh, that sounds painful. Blurry CG, they forgot to de-blur it.
Yeah, so in the commentary they said they were disappointed about how that looked. Way too much blur on it.
Hmm.
Digger 1, you're going to overshoot.
Digger 1.
Oops.
Oh, we lost it. Problems.
Teal. Targets back that way.
I am no longer in control here.
Excuse me? The craft is no longer accepting input from the controls. The drive is at full power.
Yes.
That's not what you want to hear.
Whee!
I'm declaring an emergency.
The ejection system has malfunctioned.
We are no longer in control of the vehicle. I repeat, we have lost control and cannot eject. Please advise.
That's climbing, that is.
Yes.
I'm glad the ejection system's malfunctioned. I would not like to eject at that speed.
I wouldn't like to eject at that height.
Well, no, because they ain't got the full suits on. You know, the expert
You get severe hypothermia before you actually reach sufficiently warm atmosphere. Although I'm sure friction would warm you up.
Yes.
Heading straight out into space.
You said the 301 was capable of space flight.
Yes, sir, it is, but that wasn't part of the test.
Now, Teal'c wouldn't do this intentionally. There has to be something wrong.
A malfunction.
Must be, sir.
Get me the shuttle action officer at Space Command.
The shuttle won't be able to reach them, sir, unless we can find some way to turn them around.
I see she managed to wash her hair between scenes. She looks a lot neater there. So we have stuck her aside and said, Amanda, yeah, I want to do something with the hair. You never know, she might have been on the rip the night before the outside scene was shot.
Probably worked on that aircraft a while, a few drinks to celebrate.
I meant Amanda, not the character. No.
Cheyenne, we have a problem.
And we have green lights.
Nice. They have a problem.
Those lights are blinking in sequence. Get them blinking out of sequence.
Wow, they're moving fast.
Teal'c, on our six, is that what I think it is?
If you think it is Earth, yes.
It's shrinking.
Its size remains constant. Rather, it is we who are moving away at extreme velocity.
It's a nice little comment from between. I read this in the transcript between Teal'c and Jack. It is, in fact, remaining the same size.
We are no longer accelerating.
Oh, that's good.
I will attempt to restart.
These ships aren't hyperspace capable.
Shortfall.
The voice of Apophis. Don't all press this button.
For your insolence, you will die at the cold of space. What was rightfully mine will now return to me.
Was that who I think it was? And did he just say what I think he said?
If you think it was Apophis, and that he said the gliders from which this craft was constructed contained a device designed to return this glider to his homeworld.
And there's not a huge amount of oxygen, is there?
No, that's a problem. I think they're moving very fast away from Earth. Unfortunately, not fast enough to go anywhere practical. That's one fancy vehicle alarm system, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've stole my car. It will now drive home or drop you off at the police station on the way back.
Will drive to the North Pole where you'll freeze to death. I mean, to me, the ultimate vehicle alarm system is one which seals the doors and windows and pumps CO in.
Or that one from Robocop.
Might require a bit full of batteries.
And you've got to probably clean it. It's going to be a little bit more messy than poisoning the person.
Yes, you just pump in carbon monoxide and they fall asleep with a happy rosy glow as the brain desperately tries to grab oxygen.
How fast is the glider going, though?
Roughly 1,000,000 miles an hour, give or take.
1,000,000 miles an hour. Round figure, that is, Major.
George, maybe it would be best if I return to the Pentagon. See what our people can contribute from that end.
George? Really?
He's subordinate, again. He may be about a good 10 years younger than Hammond, but do you think George is going to complain?
An idea, but a whole lot of things have got to go right in order for it to work.
Mm.
Yes, Morris, you may call me General. Sorry, Morris. General.
Cheyenne, we have a problem.
Digger 1, this is Flight. Reading you 5-by.
Can't help it. Digger 1 makes me think they're fans of Aaron's podcast.
I know. I'm sure that I haven't read of any reference why Digger 1, but it rings a bell from somewhere.
Well, at least they didn't call it Red 5.
Yeah, I mean, they started using more Star Wars references further into the series as they got.
Any Wizard of Oz references in this one?
Don't know yet. Where's it going?
We have sufficient power and life support for several days.
Hmm.
Several days. Well, that's something. How long will this thing take to get to wherever it's going?
Assuming this device is programmed to return to Apophis' original homeworld, several hundred years.
Several hundred?
Years.
Years.
That's not a separate one. Ah, there's one. I found an indeed.
Oh, you're in the transcript, are you?
Yes. Exterior glider. We see glider passing Jupiter. But I don't think we've hit that yet.
Not yet, no. They're travelling 1,000,000 miles an hour, but we ain't got to Jupiter yet. Well, which kind of puts into perspective the size of space. Space is big, very big. Bigger than the biggest thing you can think of.
Did you really have to? I've got the rest of the quote rolling in my head anyway.
I know.
I can see the paragraph.
I'd have carried on if I could remember the full quote.
If you think it's a long trip down to the shops, it's nothing to space, etc.
Yeah, that's it.
Mind-bogglingly huge. I believe, is a phrase which is used. I suppose, I mean, aside from actually the set, the sort of glider set, it's quite cheap, these bits, because, you know, they just, it's just black with a green light and the wardrobe.
It would have been, but they had a few technical issues. The glass in the glider ended up being too reflective, so they had to take all the glass out, then CGI it all back in, and it probably nearly tripled the amount of CGI shot, so imagine the expenditure for that. In essence, it turned into a very effects-heavy episode.
So that glass is CGI?
That's his CGI glass, yeah. And the reflections, poor CGI as well, so a hell of a lot of work.
Which is why you don't see the camera.
Controls are not responding. No thrusters and no reaction control system. We are... sitting in a tin can.
Data from the deep space network. The glider is going to pass relatively close to Jupiter. We're hoping if we can somehow nudge your trajectory just a bit, you can perform a slingshot maneuver back toward Earth. Message ends 1430 Zulu.
A time hack. Good thinking, Major.
It'll take at least 3 minutes for our radio signals to get that far out, even at the speed of light.
And speaking of time lags, it's one of the problems we had when we tried to record this episode the first couple of times.
Appropriate, really.
Yes. George sitting at the back, arms crossed. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum.
He's not sitting, he's standing.
What's he looking at? No, he's sitting on the desk.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, so he is. That's very casual for George.
Isn't
he? He's looking at his forearms. George is kind of built. Looks like he walked out.
When we saw his version of himself in 1969, you know, he was a well-built guy.
Mm.
If anything, he looked quite a bit taller, in fact.
He shrunk a bit over the years.
Not that much.
We are ballistic.
I was counting on them having at least some ability to maneuver. I don't know how to swing them around Jupiter without reaction control systems.
What is Jackson?
Relativistic communication. It is a bit of a problem. Yes, I think, Sam, you'll figure it out. Because you've got to. Everybody else looks a bit pensive and nonplussed.
Mm.
Just watch out for the monolith. Don't hit the monolith.
The monolith. Really. Douglas Adams references aren't enough. You have to go to 2001 as well.
Why not? Look, we're in a spaceship. We're in space. This is fairly new for Stargate in our own spaceship.
Yes,
okay.
I suppose
off of it's a death glider, which is unfortunately the problem in this episode.
Actually, 3/4 of it is two death gliders.
Oh, yeah. The boat of two bits together. It's a chop job.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if they actually hit anything, you'll discover that one of the panels is basically just polyfiller.
Yeah, there's one great big well going down the middle of it. Painted over and sanded. It's only got to last a few hours so we can sell it.
Epoxy.
Apophis epoxy.
Apophis epoxy and superglue. Hmm.
We just need a nudge.
I am unsure of that specific measurement.
Yes, you've got to qualify that statement, Jack.
Flight Digger 1, we've got two AIM 120 Alpha rocket motors that may, I'll say again, may be at our disposal. Flight Digger 1, we've got two AIM 120 Alpha rocket motors that may, I'll say again, may be at our disposal.
Now, what did you think of that, Sam?
We are ballistic. Or did I say that before he said it?
Said that. Yeah, we said that a while back.
To calculate where, when, and duration of burn. Digger 1 at 1458 Zulu.
Major Davis?
They want to cook off the missile, sir.
What for?
If we can get enough Delta V out of the missile's rocket motors, our plan might still work.
You both should be ashamed of yourself, Jack and Tilt, thinking of that idea before you pay.
Yeah.
Talk them through it. We'll need half an hour to make the burn calculations, sir.
Half an hour? Major, don't get me wrong, but the margin for error for this...
That's the time that we've got.
I realize that. They thrust in the wrong direction, they hit Jupiter.
Wait any longer and we're too late.
Although I never really considered Major Davis to be tech expert.
Yeah.
Liaison, not the quartermaster. The word I'm thinking of, I can't remember, so I'll forget it. Logistics, kind of a logistics officer. Oh, nice shot that is.
Our own transcript again.
Pity they didn't put cameras on the ship.
Hmm. They're panning slowly around.
Yeah.
Look at all the props we built. It is. That's basically a beauty shop for the props.
Why not? I mean, the guys who build this sort, they should be real proud of it. This ain't just a little model on a stick they're filming to make it look big. This is a real-sized ship.
I wonder if it was one of the things that were sold off.
I'd imagine so, unless it was cannibalized for other uses.
Mm.
This is flight 1618 Zulu.
It's right about now. Whenever you're ready.
Air-to-air mode, bore.
Update.
Update.
out of range. Yeah, it would be a bit.
Ready. Flint, this is Digger 1. We copy updates and we're ready to begin burn. Selecting.
Huge faith in updating the software.
Yes.
And...
I,
Four, three,
Wee.
Two, one.
Wee?
Wee. Second one. Looks
that
like
looks
it's
really
working.
Dodgy, doesn't it? It's kind of flaky as hell.
Solid rocket motors burning away. And it's working.
It's getting very orange there.
Weapons are releasing.
Oh. That's not going to be good.
Oh,
oh no, duck.
Preliminary data coming in.
Seriously, they ducked.
Well, you would. It's instinctual.
Yeah, I suppose that's a point. It... But someone remembered to point out, guys, duck as if it were really going to hit you. And it doesn't look like it's worked.
Oh, dear.
It's okay, guys. It wasn't your idea.
Digger 1, this is Flight. We have no joy on the burn.
No joy. They're slapping on all the technical terms in this episode.
Your current trajectory takes you out of the solar system and towards the Oort cloud, which you should reach in a few months. We're all still thinking down here, so
a few months.
Don't give up.
Actually, this, you know, they've gotten to Jupiter this quick. I'd imagine they get to the Oort cloud.
Do you not read Bill Bryson's A Brief History of Almost Everything?
No, I probably didn't. What relation is that to this?
If you actually laid out, if you had the Earth... That's a nice shot, Jupiter. But if you actually laid out the solar system with the Earth the size of a grain of sand, the Oort cloud would be roughly 400 metres away.
I prefer the episode used in Porridge, where the apple and the football are about 30 feet apart. Where would the nearest star to the sun be? Johannesburg. 1970s sitcoms for you.
Like I said, Earth grain of sand, Oort cloud 300 metres away.
Yep. Situation has indeed worsened.
You think?
Indeed. Impact with the missile has damaged both power and life support.
I've always wanted to see the Oort cloud, so there's that.
Now, they had problems with this. Jupiter there is a simple rear projection shot, which they had to clean up because the masking on it was blatantly obvious it was a rear projection. Again, it was supposed to be a very cheap way to have the actors against an image. Mm. As it turned out, it didn't quite work out as well as they hoped.
Damaged both their life support and power systems. Now, for the moment, we're recommending a complete shutdown of all non-essential systems.
Maybe there's a way they can disconnect or override whatever it is that locked them out in the first place.
It's worth considering.
I wonder, do we ever catch sight of a camera in Daniel's glasses? Who's the Asian guy?
No disrespect to the actor or the race, but he's a nobody.
Unnamed Tech One?
Yeah. In fact, so much so that Peter in the commentary actually apologised for the fact, you know, everybody were speculating, who's this actor? Is he someone from Area 51? He just happened to be somebody they put in the seat because they needed somebody in the seat who would be in this meeting.
He's an extra.
Yeah, a non-speaking extra. That's the end of it.
So he's not Ricky Gervais then?
No.
Which was the worst thing in Stardust?
Yes.
Unnecessarily added scene.
Yeah. I spoke with a niece personally. She said they have a scout ship within a day or so of Earth, barely. But it's on a covert mission to a Gould-occupied world, and the High Council doesn't want to expose their operative by making contact. Then why would they bother to tell you that much?
Well, of course she would. A niece don't tell anything. The fact that she said there's a ship nearby is actually rather revealing.
What? How's their ship? Who knows that?
Who's what?
Ship nearby?
Yes, they contacted the Tok'ra, see if they could mount a rescue mission. And they spoke to her niece off camera, and she said there's a ship within one day's travel, but it's on a secret mission, and they're not going to actually...
It's in the transcript. Oh, the Tolan, sorry.
Yeah, they asked the Tolan as well, and they can't help. So we've made a great, useful bunch of friends.
We also know it's a Gould-occupied world relatively close to Earth, so...
So, that narrows it down.
Yes, it does. Sir, with your permission.
Granted.
We can't even find the Nox to ask them.
Fire control systems off. Targeting computer off.
Illumination to minimum setting.
Silence.
Yeah.
Fire control system.
You imagine it's getting pretty cold. There isn't a great deal of insulation on the ship.
Well, no, it's not designed for
Well, it's space capable, but it's meant to up out the atmosphere, shoot its missiles, and get back down again.
Hmm. Assuming the missiles don't break the ship.
Yes.
They decided to get, I suppose, because they had to CGI the glass, they couldn't really show the missile hitting the ship.
No, that might be a bit awkward.
Mm.
Flight, this is Digger 1 at 1952 Zulu. We have initiated power conservation and we'll have to terminate the downlink. We'll reconfigure for a comm pass 5 minutes before and after every hour.
This is Flight. Hold tight, guys. We've got a new plan to try to reach you with a Toka scout ship.
Yeah, Daniel informing them of stuff. Teok's back to looking stoic. You know, Teok, you could go into a deep state of calinary and conserve oxygen.
I'm sure that will be the case further on into the episode.
Flight Digger 1, we would prefer to do something. Tell us how to fix this thing. We'll fly ourselves home.
Oh, and if you're thinking of trying to disconnect the recall device, Sam thinks that would just make things worse.
Yes, a little warning from Daniel.
Mm.
Granted, it comes to the point where you think, what have I got to lose? But
practically everything.
Yes, you don't go mucking about with alien technology if you can avoid it, which but, is something.
If they weren't mucking about with alien technology, they wouldn't be out there in the bloody first place.
Exactly, yeah. We took the remains of two death gliders, converted them into one ship, put some human technology on it, and then were surprised when there was a little surprise buried in the code.
Mm.
Detected. So can we.
Still the matter of identifying the Topra operative.
Anise said it was someone important to both of us.
Someone we know.
At least that's what we're hoping.
So they actually believe Anise gave them a little tidbit of information
mm-hmm.
to help them, even though perhaps she didn't have any sanction to.
True.
Now, if it was Daniel lost in space, she'd probably come out and save him herself.
What, Anise?
Well, Anise liked Daniel and Freya liked Jack, didn't she?
So why don't we have Freya rescue Jack?
Because Freya is, I think, very secondary in that relationship. Except when it comes to a Jack booty call. She gets her own way there.
Yeah, well, if she doesn't booty call Jack soon, he'll become a Jacksicle.
Procuring a craft fast enough to rescue you. But you're going to have to hang on for another 24 hours. I know that sounds like a long time, and I know you want to do something to get yourselves out of this. But the best thing you can do is conserve your energy. Amidout at 2100.
Yeah, it's a useless piece of information there from the general. Advice, not information, I should say.
24 hours.
Our current power and life support will not last 12 hours.
Let me do the math.
Really, Jack? Come on. You're an astronomer. Math should be good. Calculating elliptical orbits and so on.
Just sit there and don't do anything. Don't have a party, don't dance.
Yes.
I like that. Part of the vessel is extremely streamlined, but then you've got that great bulky engine compartment at the back.
Hmm, indeed.
Meanwhile...
Carter in Black Ops gear.
Yes. And they're on...
Your ginger hair will give you away!
They found out what world the Tok'ra were operating from.
Hmm, why don't they just steal the ready pyramid ship? That's high base capable.
This footage was taken from Need, so it was good for something.
Yes, because didn't they blow that up? Oh, no, sorry, different ship.
Look at the mine.
What about contacting the operative by radio?
Well, you see, that can't, Jeff. Oh, dear.
So they managed to sneak in, but not under the nose of the Tok'ra operative.
No.
Of course, you don't know it's a Tok'ra at this point. That's why she's aiming a gun at whoever comes through the door.
Ah, Dad!
Are you out of your minds? What the hell are you two doing here?
And hey, the Dad. First thing he does is tell her off.
He's not happy, is he?
He's not.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
You see, the Tok'ra really take things seriously. They were going to blow up a sodding planet.
Now, if I hadn't spotted you two coming through the Stargate...
You saw us?
Yes, the ship was cloaked. Was being the operative word.
We was cloaked. Kids, who needs them?
Yes, kids. Oh. Can't live with them, can't shoot them.
And at a stroke, he changes back to Jacob.
We're stranded in a disabled glider headed into deep space.
This was the only ship within range.
Good enough.
When Jack's in danger. That's something you wouldn't get from any other Tok'ra.
Let's go.
Yeah, they told him what the problem was, and sod my mission, let's go. Saving Jack and, well, basically saving his friends more important.
By the way, aside from the banana, I haven't actually eaten any. Oh, he's hungry.
General,
Sir, Major Carter and Dr. Jackson are now aboard a Tok'ra scout ship piloted by our father, sir. We're designating it Digger 2.
I call that good news, Major. What's the problem?
It is good news. At least the Tok'ra have real-time communications.
Digger 2?
Yeah.
By my calculations, even at the scout ship's top speed, Colonel O'Neill and Teal'c will be dead by the time they arrive.
Come on. Have a bit of faith. I know you don't want to sugarcoat it for the general, but you could at least hold out some hope.
Yeah, they'll be dead.
Yes. I don't know why we're bothering. Let's go home.
We are home. We can retrieve their frozen bodies and give them a hero's burial later.
Yes, in 50 years, we'll go and get them. They're not going anywhere.
With current human technology, it'll take 50 years to get there.
What do you say we turn up the heat?
We must conserve as much power as possible.
By the way, I've done the math.
As have I.
So what do you say we turn up the heat? It's cold in here.
Well, you know in a couple of hundred years, we'll go out and we'll get the Voyager spacecraft to bring them back.
Oh, the big cloudy thing?
Oh, let's hope not.
No, the Voyager spacecraft is the cloud.
Well, that
cloud
was Voyager 6, which we haven't actually built.
Cloud of evil.
It wasn't evil, it was just misunderstood.
I was quoting Audra. I thought you'd pick up on that. Have you not listened to the full episode yet?
What, the latest episode? They talk about Voyager in the latest episode?
No, they talk about a cloud of evil, though. Skynet.
Ah.
You see, I sometimes feel sorry for people with regular memories.
Yes.
If I'm bored, I can run a book through my head.
Who will I talk to?
There's little to say, O'Neill. We have fought and won many battles together. It has been an honor to serve the Tauri by your side. We are brothers.
No, we don't want this speech now, guys.
Wow, that's,
It's been good knowing you.
Is there anything you wish to say, O'Neill?
It's been good knowing you, too.
What could I possibly say after that?
We can die in peace now. We've expressed our emotions in a manly way. Your turn.
What could I possibly say after that?
Okay.
Now, according to the transcript, that's spelled Kel, K-E-L, apostrophe no, apostrophe R-E-E-M.
Kel Nareem. It'll do. I'm not going to argue the point. they're rushing back through hyperspace.
Yes, and damaging the ship in the process.
Vibration?
No kidding. We're at 132% of maximum speed.
Yes, you don't really want to hear that sound from the engine and the structure of the vessel, do you?
Carter doesn't know anything about engines yet.
Look nervous, guys.
Is that wise?
No.
Is that wise? That's it, Selmar. You tell him off. Smack him around a bit.
You did not know about the recall mechanism?
Well, apparently Apophis didn't need a recall device until Teal'c planted the seeds of rebellion on Chulak. We didn't have a clue.
The devices are new, even to the Tok'ra.
You could have told us.
You could have told us of your intentions.
You could have.
Yes, why didn't we?
Splitting hairs a bit, I think.
Politics. So how do you intend to get them out of the glider once we get there? I mean, there's no chance it'll fit into the cargo.
I like this next exchange.
Well, we were kind of hoping that you could, beam them out. Beam them out. What am I, Scotty?
I have an idea, Dad, but Colonel O'Neill and Teal'c are going to have to take a leap of faith.
Okay, nice. That's a flagrant Star Trek riff.
Beautiful, that is. The time it took to place the camera just there and wait for the ship to come along.
Dramatic pause, which you don't get in the transcript. You don't sort of get like gradual gliding shot. Guy leaning over him on a crane.
Yeah. So this is a problem with the commentary. You know, an episode like this have a lot of eye candy when nothing is said at all. And you're watching it, you think you should say something, but you're just enjoying the visuals.
Which is why I read transcript. Yeah. This is nice by Jack.
Teal'c's meditating to conserve oxygen, but I'm trying to sleep. But it's hard. CO2 levels are high. Headache.
Yeah, CO2, I understand excess CO2 does give you... It's not like carbon monoxide. You don't get the happy sleeping mode. You get excess CO2, which gives you a massive headache across the center of your forehead. It's unpleasant. Jack's preparing to check out.
I estimate.
Yep.
Does he figure he'd use less oxygen when you... Apparently, you use more energy when you're asleep than you do when you're watching TV.
Do you? I never thought that.
This is Digger.
Well, that's why once you pass puberty, you should shower every morning, because after puberty, your body eliminates toxins through sweat and sleep.
Ah, right.
Also why you should always wash bed sheets at least 60 degrees.
The Gatecast Health Report.
You see, we're not just a science fiction podcast. We want our fans to be around in 10 years when we're still going. I think we got enough material for another 10 years.
Just about.
Not yet. But there will be something wrong?
Well, let's just say I'd like to stop for a second and make some repairs, but this isn't a particularly safe part of town to pull over.
Oh.
Once again, can I reiterate, we will not be covering Stargate Infinity. I'm not going to force either me or Mike to watch that. I caught, I think, about two episodes. We might mention it in end of season wrap-up, in whatever year it came out, if it's appropriate. Rather than that, no.
Yes, literally mention the title. Once again, Jacob's reading the riot act to him.
Yes, in comparison with the Gold and Toker, you're very young.
You are so...
There's nothing wrong with being young. But you got to learn to take small steps. You can't just slap a U.S. Air Force sticker on the side of a death glider and call it yours. Advancement like that has to be earned.
Aren't the Gould and the Tok'ra, for that matter, where they are by stealing the technology from other races?
Yes, that's a good point, but you're not going to win this argument, guys. I think Jacob's made his point that we're a bunch of monkeys compared to the Tok'ra and the Gould.
Mm.
I'm sure they could come up with a better control mechanism than that. So the engines have conked out. They're driving through the comparative Weir-ass district of this part of the galaxy.
Yes. Well, is it the Weir-ass district or is it the Red Light district?
The worst. We can probably get the drives back online, but it's going to take a few minutes.
Excuse me, is that what I think it is?
Oh, dear.
Yes, I don't think... The ship's come to drum up a bit of custom.
Oh,
this is a
carjack.
Oh, I wonder where that shot came from.
Might that possibly be a shot from end of season two, was it?
Season two opener, Serpent's Grasp, was it?
Can you speak with a Gold dialect?
The dialect, yes.
That's all you need.
Nice to know. Go on, Daniel. You're the communications expert. You don't know Gwol, but the ship can take care of that. You just need to get the right inflection and the right attitude. Daniel's not known for being forceful. Even when he tries to be forceful, he still comes across as a bit of a nerd.
Yes. Ooh, it's... Yeah. You haven't reached that bit yet. We did pass the Indeed, by the way.
I'll make sure it gets put in.
Teal, are you keeping count?
No. I'm sure we'll know exactly how many by the season wrap-up.
You want me to go through all the transcripts, don't you? It's like work. You point out a problem, you've automatically volunteered to solve it.
CO2 levels are high. Headache. It's bad. Some aspirin. Estimate 3 hours. This is Sticker One.
Shall I respond, sir?
The General and Davis listening to Jack's final few words.
That's a very fatalistic viewpoint.
Well, at this point,
final few words.
They're pretty much convinced.
Let the man try to sleep.
Yes, sir.
Maktal Shalmat, Hero Ur.
Maktal Shri, Loktak, Mekta Satak Oz.
Maktal Shri, Loktak, Mekta Satak Oz.
Maktal Oz?
Maktal Oz Kree.
The great and powerful Oz. Kree Tal Shak Mak Harur.
There's your Wizard of Oz reference then.
Yes, Mak Tal Oz.
Throw Kree in at the end of the sentence. It works, whatever the context.
Sorry, just reading ahead.
Great and powerful Oz.
Sam!
Almost there!
Then why are they only launching two?
Because they only put two in when that scene was taken from that other episode I can't remember the name of. And that's another lift from another episode.
Cargo ship compared to a death glider, you'd think it shouldn't be hyperspace capable. But I'm using B5 logic here. We need a big fracking ship to open a wormhole.
Yeah.
We are in the solar system and preparing for retrieval. We estimate our time to station keep with Digger 1 is 4 minutes. Stand by.
Hang on, Jack. Only 4 minutes.
We're trying to contact Digger One, sir. So far, without success.
Yes, they're just... Whoa! Now, this is actual a practical shot, because they had both models on the same soundstage.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, guys.
Digger One, this is Carter. Do you read?
Are we too late?
I think they're unconscious.
Well, we have to wake them up somehow.
Damn it, Colonel. We haven't come all this way to take you home in a box. Now wake up!
Let me give them a nudge.
Your shouting won't help. There's a vacuum between you. Sound doesn't conduct.
Leaning over and banging on the ship's glass. Wake up!
Excuse me, I'll expose my hand to the vacuum of space for a couple of seconds and my fingers explode.
They're assuming, of course, that the radios are on. Oh, that's it, yeah. Just bump it.
Carter?
Yeah, and break the glass.
Yeah, rip and smash.
Carter?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi, sir. We're going to find a way to get you back home, safe and warm.
Why is the radio on? I thought they were trying to conserve power.
That's what I thought. They'd have switched the radio off, given up, but obviously not.
What?
What's your reserve oxygen status?
That way. Jack, over here.
Carter, is that you?
Sir, we're over here ready to bring you home. But you're going to have to trust
me. Come on, do a little wave.
What are you doing
there
here?
There you go.
What you doing here?
Saving your life, you prat. Fine, we'll go. Dad, let's go.
You trust me, sir?
Yes. Now what? Is that Jacob there?
Sure.
Good. Is Teal conscious?
Teal.
Speak slowly and loudly like he was a... Jack's not all there, is he?
Teal.
Why not?
Look, it's Carter.
Throw the pen.
She wants to talk to you.
Yeah, he's drunk. Oxygen deprivation is similar to alcohol poisoning. That was a very quick back to alert annoyed
Teal. I'm surprised it registered on that helmet they're wearing.
Hmm.
So we want you to do exactly what we say. First... remove your restraints. Then, on my mark, blow the canopy of the glider and push off.
Blow the canopy?
Teal'c knew the right way to look. I mean, Jack was like,
Well, you know, Teal'c put himself into his cornerim and has a few more engine reserves than Jack.
Mm. Yeah, he's been resting comfortably.
You got it?
I understand.
Good. I need you at least 5 meters from the scout ship. Close together.
Yes, it's a crazy plan, but it's the only one we've got.
Hmm.
Jacob, is that you?
Yes, it is, Jack. Now do what we tell you.
Well done. Keep up, Jack.
Colonel, we need you to concentrate.
Jack's kind of,
Okay, you can tell him to concentrate.
He looks kind of pale, doesn't he?
Blow the canopy.
On my mark, not before.
Right.
He's getting there.
Make sure your helmets are secure and set your oxygen at 100%. You'll need to pre-breathe the last of it.
Very quick head movement. It's kind of exaggerate his disorientation.
Mm.
Before you blow the canopy, then disconnect the umbilical and exhale as much as possible. Stand by.
Great shot, that is. Fantastic.
Yeah, they didn't really paint a shadow on the other ship, though.
Well, it depends where the sun's coming from. I suppose you could argue it wouldn't be a shadow.
There appears to be a light source.
Yeah, but where's it coming from? Rather a laugh if Apophis booby trapped the canopy, so when this system activated, if you open the canopy, it blew up.
Hmm.
We're in position. Stand by in the hold.
Colonel, Teal, are you ready?
Ready!
Boom. And I go straight up and it's the cargo ship.
3, 2, 1, mark.
Luckily, they were able to switch the artificial gravity off, otherwise they wouldn't be going anywhere.
Yes. Now, what are the rings landing on there?
Nothing. I've always assumed they didn't need actual...
thud.
Oh, that's good, that is... Thank God they were
I wonder whether Jack and Teal'c are the actors.
I imagine they were stuntmen doing that.
All right!
Flight, this is Digger 2. We have Colonel O'Neill and Teal'c aboard.
They're both alive.
Okay, I need. What do we do? Is it spectacular? Is it exciting? No, I need to stand there and then fall over.
Am I getting paid for this? Of course, then I'll do it.
Now, in fairness, in the interest of detail, I'd have his eyes look bloodshot.
He looks actually more healthy now than he did at any time in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, he were white and stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by. What the hell? I was in the neighborhood. You need a lift home?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
His eyes wouldn't be clear. You'd get some reticular hemorrhaging. Be watching too much CSI. Maybe a little frost on the face, at least. You know, some element of cold.
He'd been sitting in that position for so long, though. He'd just leave me there on the floor. Wake me up when we get home.
We have Colonel O'Neill and Teal'c aboard. They're both alive.
Yeah! Well done, Digger 2. Well done. Congratulations. Now come on home.
Yes.
Woohoo. Okay, now who's going to pick up all these confidential papers?
Yes, this paper is regarded as joy paper, according to Peter DeLuise. Special paper made to throw around in times of celebration.
Yeah, what you don't see is... I'd like to see an SG-1 episode akin to A View from the Gallery.
Oh, the B5 episode.
Yes.
I had to think then.
Sorry.
Don't make me think at this time of day.
Dude, you weren't up until after 4 a.m.
Right then, that was Tangent.
Indeed.
Very effects-heavy episode.
Unfortunately, John Julie yes. Saw thanks to them screwing up the glass.
And surprisingly enough, as the writer and the director said, this episode on paper, two people, two guys in a ship floating through space, it could have been boring as hell, but they made it into a very entertaining episode. It looked fantastic. Good story, full use of all the characters and the guest stars.
Well, episode. Not really much use of the general. He was there in the first 10 minutes and he kind of buggered off.
Oh, of course, but we had to have a new character. Hammond wasn't going to give the responsibility for the 301. And we haven't actually seen anybody that runs Area 51. So that was him. And he played well against Teal'c's stoicism and Jack's humour.
Mm. Although he was kind of looking at Jack and is he being insubordinate? Is he taking this?
That's what I meant, playing well against him.
The shot, by the way, at the end of episode for me is... from the memory erasure one with Teal'c with the bandage around his belly to hide the pouch and the hot rocks in the background. And
right then.
Something popped up. SG-1, V3, R1, YR4, Volume 3, Region 1, Year 4.
Oh, well done.
That's informative. That were Tangent. Next week's episode is entitled The Curse. I'll read the bad copy.
Go on then.
When Daniel Jackson returns to Chicago to attend the funeral of his mentor, a celebrated archaeologist, he soon realizes that the death is mysteriously connected to a recent discovery of a 10,000-year-old Egyptian artifact that might be cursed by a vengeful pharaoh, which I think is SG-1 speak for It Had a Bloody Ghoul, didn't it?
Yes, and it's going to be a location shoot.
Ooh, shiny.
And if I seem to recall, the lead actress is rather attractive. And pretty much all I can remember about the episode until you read the blurb, now it's all flooding back.
In a good way or in a bad way?
A reasonably
in
a, good
in a kind of help me, I'm drowning, or a sort of a pleasant warm shower?
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, she's wearing a hand device.
And they leave all sorts of things in those jars, don't they?
I'm not touching that one.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
He's dead.
Who?
My archaeology professor.
One mysterious death.
Woe to all who disturb this, my final resting place.
Leads to another.
Oh, God.
It could be the curse of an Egyptian relic.
Is that what I think it is?
It's a Ghoul symbiote.
Or something more terrifying.
Your priority is to stop the Ghoul with minimum risk to yourself.
An unholy enemy seeking resurrection.
Could be headed back to the temple in Egypt where the jars were first discovered. If we move fast, we could head him off.
Now it's up to SG-1 to stop a new legacy of evil.
Osiris will return, and the rivers of the earth will run red with blood.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. That's pretty much it. Thank you for listening, folks. Thank you for downloading. Feel free to tweet or leave feedback, etc., etc. We shall see you Well, from our recording perspective, in about three... Oh, that's a point. We'll see you in a few days.
Whenever. Thanks for listening, folks. See you next time.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.